President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBC.com on this September the 18th on the West Coast, already September the 19th on the East Coast, and the Central Time Zone. And, of course, we're in the year of our Lord, 2008. We have a special show for you this evening. As I announced last night, we made a last-minute change in our schedule. We were to have Billy Woodard on, and Billy was gracious enough to allow us to bring a special message forth this evening. In fact, we have a past guest on with us, as well as a new guest, and this is going to be a special on prophecy tonight. And I want to forewarn the listening audience that we're not trying to scare anyone. What we're attempting to do is bring the truth to you as we know it, as God shows us things that are underway, things that are in His plan, and we just ask that you take all of this information you're about to hear and use your own discernment. If it rings true, there's a strong possibility that it's ringing true because it is the truth that you're hearing. If not, I suggest you do some research. Of course, those of you who are believers out there, read your Bible, and there'll be plenty of reference to Scripture. You may want to take some notes. And again, above all, we have the power within us to bring about great changes on planet Earth, and it's important for us to take responsibility, to repent, and to listen for God's voice at all times. With that, I want to welcome back to Evident Footprints Pastor Matthew Stephen, and we also have a special guest with us, Stephen Benning. Gentlemen, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Thank you very much, Don. It's good to be back on the program of Evident Footprints there with you, and I appreciate that, and having an honor to be able to come back on the show and to be able to be with Stephen Benning tonight as well on the show.
Well, I'm delighted to have you both here. I know you have a very important message. The last times you were on, you were talking about some very important messages that you were getting in prophetic dreams and visions. And for those who may be hearing something for the first time tonight, if you could give us just a little bit of background, both of you gentlemen, actually, and then we'll begin our discussion.
Okay. Great. That's great. Well, you know, the whole background area of prophetic realm, as far as that, the church in America itself is what the Lord's been speaking to my heart about, and what the background in my heart has been is primarily a understanding that the church in America is getting ready to have a major wake-up call. And as far as the background of it goes, is that God has been trying to bring correction into the church in America, and into the prophetic movement itself of the nation. Most of the movements that I've seen have come and died, and He's raising up and birthing a people of called by His name today, and the loose gun prophets of the nation that I've been seeing running around in the churches and throughout America, what they've been calling prophets today, has been kind of been very immature. And so God has been calling myself to come back and bring correction into the churches and to the to the call of the watchmen of the prophets to come to a time of full maturity and seasoning, to where God is trying to raise up His sons. As trying to raise up his sons and his daughters as well, as far as the bride goes. And so my background's been, since 1979, been speaking in the areas of the prophetic realm and some understanding of correction in the Scriptures for the church itself to to come out of the institutionalized systems, out of the doctrinal systems of man, and into the truth of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it's been a long journey, and through the years, God has been having me speak into the nation of America and appointed over the nation of America into speaking about the judgments on America and the calling the church into repentance as well as the nation to repent. But obviously the nation where the nation's been right now is that God is not going to save America, folks. What he's going to do and what he is interested in doing is he's saving the souls of America. And he had told me that when he gave me the coming destruction map of 1993 of America in 1993, he said, though I will not destroy it completely, he is going to send massive judgment and destruction upon America with a great invasion in America that will come towards the end in a very short amount of time, which I see happening over the next two years or so, maybe 3 years, that we're about to see that take place of a great invasion. I actually see it coming very quickly, somewhere after. I'm not sure exactly the data because God didn't give me an exact date, but he did tell me that it would happen within the time frame of a time where I believe the mark of the beast will come into place, or the form of the mark of the beast, the mandatory ID chip mark system, which will take place in 2009. And in that time frame, we're about to see a great invasion that will come right behind that in America, and Russia, the bear, is about to unleash its power along with China to America. And so the background where I've come from on this has basically been speaking about prophetic events and hundreds of prophecies that have come to pass through the years, everything from President Reagan being being elected to office and changed defense history, to Anwar Sadat's assassinations, to Bush's elections, to Katrina 7 years before it happened, to the 9/11 events, to the Iraq war before 1 year before it happened, and on and on and on, as well as Ike, the recent hurricane that came, and the seven spirits of the seven hurricanes, the seven witches, I call it, and God is allowing these judgments to take place. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, real quick, some of the background of in working in the prophetic realm, but trying to also understand that there must be a time for the church to not only humble themselves and repent, but for the prophets, the watchmen of God in the hour, the deliverers that God is raising up in this hour, to come into full revelation, and that God is trying to season and mature that area to the people to understand, so that there could be a clear call with a clear voice, with a clear trumpet sound out there, and not a mixed call that's been going on in our nation with not only the churches, but so-called the immature prophets, and a lot of them that have been running around beating people up over this, and to also make a full understanding and educate the body of Christ to see the calling that the church has, where God has said, I have placed the judgments in the church's hands, and that it's a whole different type of teaching in a sense, but it's in the scriptures about the judgment of God, and that God has caused the church to rule and reign here on the earth now with a rod of iron, to call the church to tell the America, tell the world, you're going to drink of the cup of God's judgment and the cup of God's wrath unto the wicked. And that God is speaking that forth very clearly so that we can move into the place where God has called us, and then come, you know, through that time of darkness, of tribulation, and into the time of the thousand-year reign with Christ Jesus. And so that's kind of where I'm at with the awareness of that tonight, Don, and I really appreciate you making the show available for this.
Well, Brother Matt, I can say this. I'm just going to make a couple of quick comments here before we invite Stephen to tell us a little bit about himself. You bring about a very important, a very serious and dire message in many respects, especially compared to what I can only refer to as claptrap on many of the religious television programs. Many of the ministries are focusing on feel-good doctrine, a lot of dogma, almost a flippant attitude about the seriousness of what is really going on here on this planet. And we're witnessing many, many signs. In the Patriot movement, we see the signs that show that something is afoot with Russia and China. We've seen troop movements, so this is not something that can't be supported by fact. This has been a number of years that we've seen intrusions of foreign troops on our soil. And I remind the listening audience that this has been reported quite a bit on the internet. People that are actually seeing these encroachments into our country, and they're reporting this, and it's not being handled properly. The government obviously is playing a role in permitting this to happen. So there is a lot of truth to what you're talking about. Your predictions, although they can create fear, you're not trying to create fear so much as bring it to folks' attention that God is still in control, and that he will fulfill his word. We've seen earthquakes. Many you have predicted. We have seen the storms, both hurricanes, tornadoes, windstorms, floods. You have predicted these things. And I have been to your website, propheticwatchmanvine.com. I've read all of your prophecies. I've seen the map of the United States after all of this tribulation takes place, and it's quite alarming. And there are those that would say, well, you're not putting out the message of peace and love and harmony that everyone else would, that you're almost attracting these things just because you're talking about them. But I understand that this is far beyond just a message of fear, that you're not intending at all to create fear, but you're getting everyone's attention, that God is speaking to you. And as much as you know, within your being, within your soul, God is showing you what he's about to do. Would you agree with that?
Yes, Don, I really do totally agree with that. You're talking about the invasion in America. I had that invasion dream in several of them, but one of the invasion dreams I first had was in 1981. And in 1982, I was standing on the shores of Virginia Beach and saw the dark color cloud come in, the black cloud upon America's shorelines. And then as the cloud dissipated, I saw dark color ships up and down the eastern seaboard. And America has to understand something, and the church has to understand something greatly. First of all, most of the church in America, I know this is going to be a really hard saying to a lot of people, but the church in America needs to get saved today. And I know that's a really hard thing to say, and I know there are born-again believers that love Jesus Christ, but God is calling his bride to understand that we have got to walk in the understanding of maturity in the fullness of God's kingdom in this hour. But what I'm about to say is that and I have been around government projects in and out of the White House twice, but have been around, you know, top secret type of stuff in intelligence background in the military itself, and then working in government black projects throughout the years, and some of them have been, you know, top secret or secret type projects. And the Trojan horse, folks, has been in America. Of course, this plan has been underway, from my understanding, at least in the 30s, but by the Spirit of God, God spoke to me in the 80s that he said, the Trojan horse is here, my son, and it's in the land of America. And they have implanted themselves in the government realms. They're in the institutionalized churches. The brotherhood has taken over the churches with their money. The different levels of the Illuminati, the mafias, and all the different types of New World Order type councils throughout, if you will, for lack of better terms, have been planted in society. They have taken over the American military. They have taken over the nuclear arsenals of America. We see a very good example of that last year when the B-52 bomber flew out of Barksdale, out of North Dakota, and flew all the way down to Louisiana, and with nuclear bombs on it. And then we see the nuclear tips that were being shipped off to Taiwan to make us look like fools in front of China. And so those had to be ordered from a high-ranking general and above, and to have that done. And then, of course, you know, Secretary Gates comes in and has some heads rolled to make himself like, well, we don't want to know what's going on here. Well, that's because 50% of the military and the government itself, somewhere, well, I don't know about 50% of the government, but about 50% of the military are true Americans, and probably the mixture of at least 50% of these others are implants throughout our society, where the Russians, the Chinese, the Vietnamese, and the Muslims, and all those have taken on the ranks in our military and in our governments, congressmen, senators, and everything else, that have been implanted in the society and have formed within our country a takeover, and is going to use our own weapon systems against us right here in America. So, I mean, that's a bold statement to make, but I can prove that Lockheed Martin, Boeing, and all these major corporations, I've seen their inside intel of their employee manuals, their employee roster list, their books, their phone books are filled with thousands of foreigners inside those books. And I've watched what they do, and you know, and I've seen the inside of these organizations. So I know that firsthand to see that. So it's not just a hearsay, but at the same time, it was the Spirit of God that's really showed this deep to me of the plan of America and the takeover of America. And it's been happening, folks, right in front of our face. If you think the government, or if you think the churchianity of America is going to save you or going to be for your best interest, you better think again. The Scripture says that the kings of the earth have come up against the Lord God Almighty, and they are the enemy of Jesus Christ, and that the spirit of Satan is working in them. So that's kind of where that's at.
Well, what you're saying, Pastor, is also, let's say, in a parallel, it's actually what I'm finding in the research I'm doing. And I had Jim Mars on the show last night. He's a world-renowned author and investigative journalist. He comes to the same conclusions that I do, as do many other fine researchers and authors. So there are parallels out there, and I don't mean to say in the secular world, but if you want to look at it from a secular viewpoint, there's more than enough evidence that what you're saying is true. Of course, this has been written out of our history books, and we've been taught lies about this, and blindly we follow it. Now, in terms of what I see happening, in terms of those researchers that are coming out with information that is supporting what you just said, that's, again, God at work. We are just messengers who are uncovering this in another way, and we don't even have to use biblical reference to substantiate what we're finding. The proof is out there, and the truth is there. So I applaud your message from that perspective, that it is founded in actual truthful and honest, open, independent historical research, and that's going on in real time as we speak. Now, Stephen Benning, would you give us a little bit about your background for the sake of the listening audience, and tell us how you also are involved in prophecy, and how you came to meet Pastor Matthew Stephen, and what your message is.
Well, hi, Don. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to a new audience on this program. I think, first of all, I would like to say that Pastor Matthew and I are not new in any respect to this type of a walk. Matthew is in the 30th year of serving the Lord in ministry, and I believe the word that he's speaking now is probably pretty similar to the word that he was speaking in 1979 when he began. And that's talking about the things that are happening that the Lord Jesus is doing in the earth, and the necessity for people to repent and to turn every aspect of their lives, hearts, and minds, and their souls over to the Lordship of Christ. And we still are emphasizing that in all that we do. I'm not a newcomer either. I'm in the 22nd year of ministry. I'm 52 years of age. At the age of 30, I was radically converted. In Matthew's case, he was a public servant in the military when he was converted, I believe. And in my case, I was a certified public accountant, an auditor, when I was converted to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So you might say that, you know, after having graduated from college in the heartland of the U.S., where I was trained by a father who always voted Republican, that it was patriotic to vote Republican and to support the government and the military. And I mean, I was trained that anyone who had anything negative to say about the United States was an enemy of the country. Well, you know, when God began to open my eyes in 1987 to some of the things that were happening in my land, and that God was very angry with what was happening in the country that I loved, I had a time of having to get adjusted to it, because, you know, you can develop a mindset. I think most people in America have a mindset that, oh, it's, you know, God, guns, and apple pie, and that, you know, God, if he's got a favorite country, he must be an American. And there's sort of these kind of mindsets that people in America have, and I had to unlearn some of this because it was put into me from birth. And I think it's important to tell your listeners, Don, that, you know, God did not select a couple of guys who were marching in the streets, breaking out windows, rioting in the 1960s. Matthew and I probably would have been rounding up and arresting those guys. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So God selected a couple of guys who were really on the other side, kind of pro-America, you know, pro-America this, pro-America that. I mean, we were really from the perspective that, you know, whatever America would do or could do, that was the right thing. And God got a hold of me. I don't really quite know how it started for Matthew, but God began to show me that he had a big controversy with America, and most of all, he had a controversy with the church. And I got saved. I went into the church thinking that surely everyone else in the church wants to hear the truth. After all, one thing you said, Don, you know, you talked about the peace message and the prosperity message. And when you said that, I thought about an Old Testament scripture where Jeremiah said, you know, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And I thought about how there's a lot of that going on today.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people in the church is talking about peace, peace, and there is no peace. And the second one that I thought of was a New Testament one, where it says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I mean, I love peace, Don. I love being prosperous, but I don't want anybody to lie to me, especially when they come to me talking to me about God and the Bible. I want to know, what is the truth? What is God really saying? Don't feed me a bunch of BS. Lay it on the line for me. I'm over 52 years old. You know, give it to me straight. You know what I'm saying, Don? I would rather know the truth, even if it's hard. Because if we know the truth, and if people have the truth presented to them, well, at least then they've got an opportunity to humble themselves, to repent, to turn from their wicked ways and seek God's face, and that gives us the only chance we've got for God to heal our land, because our land is very sick right now. I mean, just in the last 2 days, can you believe the news that we've had? I mean, we've had Ben Bernanke, the head of the Fed, is quoted as saying, it's all out of control. We've lost control. We've got the Senate Majority Leader who said, we don't know what to do, Harry Reid. We have no idea what to do. And now today, they've come up with apparently a bailout plan where they're going to take all these mortgages, and it's happy days are here again. Everybody's happy. The stock market's going up. We're in the middle of a schizophrenic society. And meanwhile, Russia's getting ready to claim the Arctic. They're getting ready to send advanced missiles to Iran. to protect their nuclear reactor sites, and Iran is thumbing their nose at us, saying they can control the Persian Gulf just fine, and if we don't like it, they'll take out our ships with their missiles that they say can reach the Gulf. And meanwhile, the people over here in the churches are just singing "Happy Days Are Here Again," you know, because they're maybe they think they're not going to lose their 401ks now. But that's not what God is telling me, and that's not what God is saying to Matthew. So I'm going to be quiet now and see what you and Matt have to say in reply to that.
Well, what comes to mind while you were talking is we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. This is spiritual warfare that we're in, and I can support what you said just on the basis of my own broadcasting career and my journalistic career over the past 2 years, in that I was warning that this was going to take place, what we're experiencing with the banks, with the central bank, with the U.S. Treasury, with the Federal Reserve, which is no more federal than Federal Express. And the wars that are going on is nothing more than the perpetuation of the military-industrial complex designed to enrich these countries that were never even American country or companies, I should say. These companies that were never American, but they were owned by foreign interests all along for hundreds of years. Actually, this is what's coming forth in my research and the research of others. We're learning that our history as it was taught in the schools, and this is where a lot of the dumbing down takes place, of course, through the media, which is totally propagandized, but this has been going on for several hundred years. Really, we were set up at the time this country was founded, the time it was created. There were secret societies that were in operation, and they're still operating together at this time. Now, they are not going to escape God's judgment or God's wrath for the things that they have committed, murder being probably number one on his list, and the lying and the deceit and the thievery that has caused people to starve, has created illness and despair, the destruction of the not just the American family, but the world family, and ultimately the children of God. There is going to be great judgment for that. So I echo your sentiments totally, and I can tell you that this message has been coming out on this show and through my own journalism for the past several years. And anyone that's read my work or listened to this show knows that I'm telling the truth. And I don't hesitate to bring a spiritual message forward as long as we entertain also the prospect of solutions. And, of course, those are given to us not just in God's Word, but in real time, and that's why you gentlemen are here tonight. I guess at this point I would entertain the messages that you both have, and hopefully we can discuss these as you bring them forward.
Okay, great. Well, you know, Stephen, why don't you just go ahead and share with what God is sharing with you, and I'll just go ahead and share a little bit right after that, and we'll go from there.
Wow, the message. Well, you know, to capsulize 22 years of ministry and 30 years of ministry down into a one-time radio program for first-time listeners, well, okay. The Holy Spirit is saying that you know, your listeners, Don, have been prepared somewhat for this if they have been listening to you. Because as you said, you've been talking about certain elements of this. But, you know, perhaps some of you who are listening, you have the idea that America has gotten into trouble by virtue of stumbling in terms of their international relationships, of getting in trouble with international organizations because they went to war unilaterally or different things such as this. Certain other people believe that America is getting into trouble, for example, because Maybe they don't ride out to defend the nation of Israel every time Israel sneezes. And certain other ideas that have been trumpeted as major causes and ideas by the church. I would simply put the message out there that God has a controversy with this land, and most specifically with the church. He wants the church and the believers in this land to bring forth the kingdom of God in this land, and he wants to bring forth his bride, which is a bride without spot and blemish. And to do that, his people have to be told that they need to repent of their sins, that they need to, and that actually means turning away from their sins. They need to do better. And if they're having trouble with that, they need to cry out to God for help with that. And there needs to be this continual, truthful effort, without hypocrisy, to begin to be more filled with the Holy Spirit and to begin to overcome the sin that has quite evidently taken over our land. I mean, you know, I remember hearing many years ago that, oh, if we could only get Republican control of the House and the Senate combined with the presidency, that we would put an end to abortion. Well, it happened. We got Republican control of the House and the Senate and the presidency back in the year 2000, and we never did away with the murdering of 1.5 million babies every year. Obviously, it was not deemed to be as much of a priority after the Republicans were elected as they implied that it was while they were campaigning. And then we have the whole issue of marriage and how that has been watered down to the place now where in California, you cannot go to the state as bride and groom. You have to go as party A and party B to the marriage. And if you change the wording on the California form to bride and groom, they reject your application for marriage. I mean, that's where we've sunk to. But the things that I tell the church, I say, you know, these things are very bad. But the thing that is more upsetting to God is the condition of the church. God is always, if you study God's word, he's always more upset and more apt to break out in judgment against his own people when they turn away from him and when they begin to speak forth lies rather than the truth. And I've gotten into a lot of trouble in the churches in America when I tell them, you know, you think that the greatest abomination is the homosexual or the abortionist. The greatest abomination in America is the thing that calls itself the church, that is doing everything it can to turn everyone upside down, to shake every nickel out of their pocket through manipulative tithing and offering law messages and bless me messages and all these things, enticing people to give all their money so that they will get the 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, that this has become a giant Ponzi scheme in the name of God. This is all very noxious to God, and it's provocative to him. And I tell the church, first of all, you need to repent of all of this wickedness. And this is, it stretches to the very high places of the church. And my goodness, if we could ever deal with that, that would be a wonderful beginning. I tend to think that what I fear that God has told me is correct, that we will not see any repentance at all. There will not be any possibility until 20 million minimum lay dead in the streets of America. No possibility of repentance from this money game that is going on in the churches. And it seems that most of those who are trapped in the churches, they can't see it. Those who are outside of the church, they won't have anything to do with it. They look at this, they say, I'd rather go buy a used car from somebody who picked up cars from the Hurricane Katrina zone than spend my money in one of these places with these carnival barkers. And so, yes, God has a controversy with this whole thing that calls itself the church. It is not really the church. It is really in the Bible called Mystery Babylon. There are other names that are used in the Bible to describe it, the harlot. The book of Revelation calls it the synagogue of Satan. I would point out to your listeners who You know, some of them, they love God, they love Jesus Christ. Maybe these words are shocking to them. You know, wherever there is a true church in the earth, there's always a false one. And at different times and different ages, the false one has dominated. And if you study in history, in the past, you could reach the opinion that the false church was always the larger one and the more dominant one. And then we have this, if we could ever get past the money manipulation, then we could talk about this escapist theology that the false church has, where it's telling all of its people, oh, just come bring your tithing and offering to us, praise and worship with your 5, 10, 20,000 people, and we're all going to fly away before any trouble comes.
Mm-hmm.
God is angry with lies like that. No one is going to be flying away anywhere. We're going into, and it has already begun, incredibly difficult times have already begun. And from what the Lord has said to me, they are beginning here in the United States first. And I've preached this around the world, Don. I told the people in Africa, I told them in the South American nations, I said, do not seek to immigrate to America. It will be far worse in America than it will be in Medellin, Colombia for a long period of time. And the Americans have been told, oh, don't worry, the rapture will take you away. I think that what we are certainly looking at is a great falling away of many of those who have said that they are believers in Jesus Christ. And as this trouble that we have just, we've just barely stepped into the edge of the surf, you know, we've been walking on a nice sandy beach and now a wave has come up and gotten our feet wet. There is trouble coming that is going to go over our heads. And we've just barely gotten our feet wet in this trouble. So that's a good introduction, I think, for me. Matthew, are you ready to take over?
I do have one quick question here for you. Is it okay if I call you Stephen, just for brevity?
Yeah. Very good.
Okay. The thing I notice with the church today, and I'm speaking about the organized church, if you want to use TV evangelists as an example, I don't see much of the Ten Commandments being taught, if at all. And I know that one of the commandments deals with the topic of idol worship. And I see all of these TV evangelists and the TV shows that have been turned into these extravaganzas where they've moved from the circus tent atmosphere into the TV studio atmosphere, promoting and pumping the giving of money so that more satellites can be put up into space, and that the church can somehow strengthen its and enlarge its body by the numbers and the amount of giving that goes into their coffers, as you already described to an extent. I think that's one of the biggest affronts to God is that these cults, they're really cults when they're following the leader and they're not following the word of God when they're not even talking about Jesus. You hear the most ridiculous statements being made about Jesus, and it's leaning, as you pointed out, towards Satanism. What is your perspective on that? It's as though they're hiding under this umbrella of the 501c3 corporation, the tax-free entity, and they have to do the bidding of the government to keep that tax-free status. As an accountant, but someone with spiritual discernment, what do you see happening there?
Well, I see that little by little, the 501c3 fence is being electrified. You see, at first when the 501c3 exemption came in, and by the way, you know, any church that operates in America, if it is receiving donations, it is accepted under Internal Revenue Code 501c3, whether it files for and receives the recognition of that exemption or not. The people get a tax donation for what they give to that church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that whole process worked pretty well from where it came into Internal Revenue Code law somewhere back around 60 years ago. And there weren't that many problems with it. But now the fence has begun to be electrified as, there have been different things. The first thing that came in was that we were not going to allow these churches to do any type of lobbying. And then, in any of the church facilities, they were not going to be allowed to do any type of political campaigning whatsoever. And where we've reached to now is the people of God are all muzzled while they're in the churches and the pulpits. They're muzzled. They can't really say anything in favor of or against any candidate. And not that that really matters, because I look at all the candidates and it's nothing but wickedness to the left and wickedness to the right anyway. But, what we've come to in the church is through this idolatry and the love of money, sin is not preached against anymore because, if you preach hard against sin, you make people uncomfortable, and they go down the street to where they are more comfortable, so your tithing and offering, your take, decreases if you preach hard against sin. And if you allow a prophet like Matthew Stephen to come and speak in your church, or a guy like Stephen Benning, that's going to decrease your take, because some people are going to get upset and some people are going to get a little scared. Maybe they're going to, be a little worried. So they'll go somewhere where the message is a little less frightening, where they're being told everything is okay, happy days are here again, live your best life now, all of these things that you can hear on the television in America. And what we've had developed, Don, in America is we have this tremendous focus in America on this getting on television with your church. It really began with some of the denominational programs back in the 60s. Then it evolved in the late 70s with the Trinity Broadcasting Network. And now it has sprung out onto the satellite networks, the God TVs, the Angels in the Sky, these various TV satellite networks. And so they're all trying to draw viewers. And what you have is there are thousands of churches set up with the idea of being pleasing to these various TV ministries. And you basically have independent churches that are not really independent anymore because they're kind of aligned under a particular television network.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have a new denomination, for example. I call it the Trinity Broadcasting Denomination. You have all these thousands of churches that have pastors, and these pastors just can't wait to get their 1 hour of airtime on TBN. And they'll go on the local TBN program, and then, it's like their lifetime dream if they could go on nationally. And then, they can't ever say anything that would upset the heads of the network. I heard a report from one of our members at Watchman Prophets Assembly. She attended a prophecy conference by a prophecy teacher who regularly teaches on TBN. And this guy, when he's at a prophecy conference, she said he talks like Matthew Stephen and Stephen Benning. But when he's on TBN, he doesn't say anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he can't really talk like that on TBN because they would cancel him immediately if he talked like the two of us when he's on television. So you have this kind of hypocrisy going on of, one ministry for the television and another ministry for your conference attendees.
Mm-hmm.
And we wonder, why would God be upset with this whole charade?
Yes, I merely brought that forth, and you're addressing it very well. I brought that forth because I see the hypocrisy there. And they get the attention just like the media gives the attention to the political candidates that that the shadow government, the Illuminati, want to promote. And so people like Ron Paul or Chuck Baldwin are left in the dust behind the curtain. And you have people literally saying, "Well, who is that?" Ron Paul's a congressman. Chuck Baldwin has got a big following, especially on the internet. His newsletters, his commentaries have been heard and read for years. And these people are oblivious to what's going on because they're following the major bucks that are promoting these madmen. I see nothing genuine in them. And if we got into a discussion, maybe this is a topic for another show. If we got into a discussion about all of these evangelists that make appearances or have anything to do with TBN, I've gone down the rabbit hole on these guys. Whether you want to talk about Jim Baker, Jimmy Swaggart, Paul Crouch, Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, who's gone now, but he was a big part of this corruption. And I can add plenty of names. We can get into Oral Roberts and Richard Roberts, and there's always a scandal that follows these people, and it's always buried underneath the rug or underneath the carpet. It goes away. It comes back occasionally. It's as though you see the government stepping on them a little bit harder because they want them to fork over some of the earnings that they're taking. So they put them in prison for a couple of months or a couple of years. They come out and they start over again. God's forgiven them. All the people forgive them, and they're back to making $100-150 million a year. And where does that money go? What are they doing to feed the poor and the starving and the underprivileged? What are they doing to help create jobs or what are they doing to bring peace to the world? Nothing. So that's my rant there.
I think you're hitting on something pretty important for your listeners to take as a key. If you have somebody coming to you saying they have some word from God, well, follow the money. Go look at their website. Go look at what they do and see what are they selling? What's the business here? You know, in Matthew's case, he's on a military pension. And if somebody wants to send him an offering, he'll take it. But he has nothing for sale, and he never has had anything for sale.
Mm-hmm.
You said people can check him out at propheticwatchmanvine.com, and he doesn't have anything for sale. That's why I can walk with him. I'm at usaprophet.com. I have never had anything for sale. And I've had offers. I've got a lot of internet website traffic. I don't know if you've seen my website, Don, but
I have a lot
of traffic.
Yes.
And I've had people come to me saying, well, you know, would you put some ads like a buying co-op deal on your website where, you know, if people go through there to buy stuff at Walmart, you'll get a 10% cut. And I denied all of that. I said no to it because I don't want to be filthy with this whole thing that the entire church on the planet today is filthy with, this chasing after and combining this greed and this chasing after money with bringing forth the Word of God. I have had to be pure of it, and I've stayed pure of it. And I've seen that Matthew stayed pure of it. Quite frankly, I haven't met anybody else in Christian ministry. I don't know of anybody else prominent with a radio program who is free of it and clear of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty sad commentary.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that I make no money with my radio show. I do have sponsors, and they're people whose products I support. They're people that bring solutions to the table to help people keep a healthy body and a healthy mind. And that's the best I can do there.
I'm not coming down on you at all, Don.
I'm underscoring your comment.
No, I'm saying for a man to come forth and say that God has called him as a prophet, I think there's a higher standard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible teaches that you know, when the prophets were on the earth in power, Elijah and Elisha, there were consequences for those who tried to make money with the prophetic gift.
Yes.
They were not good consequences.
Well, speaking of sponsorships, we have to take a short break here, but when we come back, I'm going to invite Pastor Matthew Stephen to share some of his visions and also you, Stephen Benning. Folks, you're listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and we'll be right back, so don't go away.
Freedom-loving Americans is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. The Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
With our number two of Evident Footprints and our guests, Pastor Matthew Stephen and Stephen Benning. Gentlemen, welcome back to the show. isn't it ironic? We're talking about money, and I had to do a couple of promotional messages from our show sponsors, but they make it possible for us to be on the air tonight, so we're grateful to both the Idaho Observer and to hempusa.org. Welcome back to the show. Pastor Stephen, if you would share now this message that you were so intent on bringing forth tonight.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'd like to do. Great that you and Stephen were sharing a lot about the church and the conditions of the Church of America and the money systems and the different things that are happening in our land. And it was quite intense there. I probably couldn't cover it any better. Some of the same words are taken right out of my own heart about the churches and how it's conducted itself in America, and the more building projects, the more staff, the bigger buildings, the more money. And you know, you don't see Isaiah 61 being brought forth there. You know, binding up the broken heart, the wounds, feeding the poor, proclaiming the favorable gospel of the year of the Lord, beyond the four walls of the kingdom of God, going out to reach and bring the kingdom to the streets, bring the kingdom to the orphans, the widows, the needy, the poor. That's something even myself has done in the ministry. I pastored a ministry in a small vineyard fellowship in the early 80s, and then went out and did church on the street ministries. I pastored a couple different times in different states. And reaching out and feeding the poor and bringing the gospel to just everyday families in the community, something that even in one city, 60 different church leaders that I was going to pastors' meetings weekly for 6 months, they were unwilling to soil their hands and come up beyond the four walls as I pleaded with these men to say, look, the cities are in decay, the people need to hear the gospel of the kingdom. And they didn't care. All they cared about was, you know, if they don't come into our buildings and give us the money, well, we don't want the poor in there anyhow, because they're not the ones that build the buildings, and they're not the ones that give us money, so we could care less. And or just the average income families that, you know, that are struggling every day. And so there's a wake-up call coming, folks. There's a wake-up call coming in the country. Now, I'm going to give you a pre-published, pre-edited version of a letter that I just wrote here, and I'm almost just still writing it while we're on this show tonight. It's called America's Roadmap Part 2. Now, on the website, it's called Urgent Letter Number 3, Part 1. But this is Part 2 of this letter. It's a small, short letter right now. I'm not even near completion of it. And I'll have to do a lot of editing and rearranging. But I'm just going to give you a little kind of prelude into the letter itself. America's Roadmap Part 2, a very important word for such a time as this. Double judgment has come, 9/19. Today is the 19th of September, and where that came out of is I was in a came out of the shower last year on December 28th, and the clock read 9/19. Well, 9 and 19 are the numbers of double judgment. 9 and 19 are judgment. And the Lord spoke to me, I will bring double judgment upon America, double judgment upon the churches. I will bring double judgment upon Bush Sr. and Bush Jr. I will bring double judgment upon Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. I will bring double judgment upon the political leaders and upon the whole system of America, the financial systems and everything. And so I'm going to read this in short, this letter, and it states, with the coming of Ike, the first sword, and the word and the world in panic, the judgment of God is made known to America and is evident to the world. Thousands of people lost everything they have. Around $3 billion in damage that was given in the Ike storms. Thousands of missing people and dead bodies, not counting the rest of the country with all its damages, as we saw real quick off the letter here, as we saw where Ike went up through the middle of the heartlands. It went up into, I mean, I talked to some friends in Ohio today, and their power is still out up over there in Ohio, and I heard it hit the Great Lakes area, and Chicago was hit, and massive floods all over the country. Anyhow, I'll go back to the letter. Ike went all the way up through the heartland and touched the Great Lakes, which in itself is another sign for the Great Lakes when it spills over on the land of America. It will split in a whole new ocean way called the Sea of the Great Lakes. Hundreds of gas stations with gas shortages have gone on. Panic and fear has gone out throughout the land. With the food and water shortages, it was stated in the Watchman reports that the stock markets were going to take a deep dive. Now, I stated that in several of the reports, even last year's reports, saying that in the fall of 2008, we would begin to see the fall of this. And a week before the stock markets fell, Stephen Benning and I both were on our radio show called Judgment at the Door Radio, which we do on Saturday nights live, every Saturday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and people can tie into that to my website and go right into, or to Stephen's website and go in and listen to the live radio, video that we actually have every Saturday night. Anyhow, it was stated on there just days before that the, market was going to take a fall. Just like the Asian markets fall when 2 months ago, 2 months before the fall of 97-98 markets, they took a massive crash and people were throwing their gold into the streets and could not even buy a loaf of bread. I hear the Lord God say that this is how it will be for America very soon. You won't even be able to buy a loaf of bread. America, you refuse to love the truth and you have given yourselves over to idols. Woe unto you. Your hour of darkness has now come to overtake you. will not turn back my sword from your land or your people. To my church I call to you to repent and prepare, for the death on the land I will be. There will be a day of darkness, and many will grow weak and die. At the same time I say to my bride, get ready, for I have called you to rule with a rod of iron and to love those in need. I have called you to help those in need, to feed those who are hungry, bind up the wounds and mend the brokenhearted, to proclaim the gospel of my kingdom. For you shall overcome the beast and the kings of the earth. I say to you and all who will hear those who have been written in the Lamb's book of life, fear not. Now is the time for double judgment. For double judgment has come, and it will take great faith and new armor to get through this last half hour. It will be a terrible day of darkness. It will take faith to move a mountain. For I say to you, double judgment to the church, double judgment to America, double judgment to Washington, D.C. and all their politicians, and to its government, and to the president of America. I am about to send upon you two massive earthquakes. One earthquake is about to take place very soon. The two trains that have collided in California, tell California I am about to remove their candlestick, and they will have a very large earthquake. I will send a number of completion upon you, California. I heard the Lord say, greater than 8 on the Richter scale. I saw the Midwest New Madrid fault line shake. It sent shockwaves to the East Coast and Washington, D.C. For the Lord God said, I will shake America from coast to coast to its very core. I will send a double judgment on two political leaders, and a double hit will soon take place, a double assassination in America, a double hit in Europe, and a double hit in the Middle East. The world will run in fear and panic. America will see a massive series of hundreds of tornadoes. I saw two huge tornadoes the size of cities. The stock markets will ripple like a roller coaster. It will slide up and down, and then they will say, happy days, eat, drink, and be merry, and then I will send a crash on your markets. It will soon take a major crash. I will take the wealth of America and burn it up in 1 hour. The markets are out of control, and then it's all good the next day. The spirit of confusion and delusion is upon the land. Your food and water supplies will become famine in your land. Your waterways and crops are drying up. I will soon send many more hurricanes on the land. When I send Omar upon you, it will come to the east, and it will be the second sword. And I will cause men to hear my majestic voice and make them see my raging arm coming down out of the heavens. I will send the invaders of the east, of the south land, and they will kill your sons and daughters by the sword. There will soon be a civil war in the land of America with riots all over the land. There has already been a civil war in the church, and now it will be in the land of America. The bear and the dragon will come upon your land, and these are the ruthless armies I will send. I will send thousands of locusts coming. I saw thousands of locusts coming down from the mountains, and it was the military soldiers, and they will kill tens of thousands of people. The beast has made war against the saints, and the time is now here. The increase of this war will be evident to all very soon. We have been in Jacob's trouble, a great time of tribulation. We must repent and come into the places of refuge. Jesus Christ is our real refuge. There is a church, and then there is a real church. The elect will come out from among them and do mighty exploits, and the earth will tremble at the sight of the sons of God. Tell my people I love them and trust in me. And that's all you get of the letter tonight, but it will be much more than that before it's over with. However, one of the things the Lord's been speaking to my heart, Don, and that is that Isaiah chapter 19, behold, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and will come to America, and of course it says Egypt, and the idols of Egypt, America, will trottle at his presence. And the heart of the Egyptians will melt within in the midst of them, the Americans, and I will send the Americans against the Americans. I will set them up. Everyone will fight against his brother and everyone against his neighbor, and the cities against cities and kingdoms against kingdoms, and the spirit of America will fail in the midst. And I will destroy their counsel, and they will consult the idols and the charmers, the mediums and the sorcerers, and the Americans I will give into the hand of a cruel master. A fierce king or president will rule over them, says the Lord God Almighty. And the waters will fail from the seas, and the rivers will be wasted and dried up, and the rivers will turn foul, and the brooks of defense will be empty and dried up. And it goes on to the listeners to read the rest of Isaiah chapter 19 and see America at hand. And what the Lord God is saying in this hour, folks, is that if we don't repent, if we don't begin to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ and get on our faces and treat this as a serious issue and get back into the holy word of God and stop listening to these paid hirelings, the spirit of Nicolaitans in these pulpits that have lied to the people and saying that they're going to be beamed out of here and that everything's going to be fine and the sword will never come upon us and we shall never see judgment. That, my friends, is a filthy lie. And the Lord God Almighty is saying unto you this day, hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to the church. That's what it says in Revelation 3, chapter 3, verse 22. And it says in Proverbs 22, verse 3, the prudent man sees danger and he takes refuge. And what the Lord is saying to the church is you can go on your simple way and don't believe the message of the sound of the trumpet of the watchman of God in this hour. But woe unto you, because you will be prepared to reap the whirlwind when it comes. And so this is what the Lord is saying tonight. The Lord is saying a double judgment has come upon the land. And the double judgment has come. The double swords, we see Ike as one of the major swords. We've seen Gustav as the staff of gods, but the staff of God. And that was a vision I had on the mountain just a couple months ago or a month and a half ago. I've got it written down there. I wrote it in one of the letters called Ike. It's not on the website, but it has been sent out to my emailers. We have to update the website, and I've got two or three letters that I wrote and put out through email to the emailers and to Stephen Bennett's ministry and their group. And throughout that, we hadn't got to upload those on our website yet because of our software issues we have. But in there, there was a vision that I had on the mountain up in Washington State. I was out there in Spokane, Washington, up in the Washington State area, and Kathy and I were up on the mountain praying. And the Lord spoke to me, and I saw this huge, mighty pillar of fire of staff coming down on the earth, and it seemed like it hit the land of the earth seven times. And this staff of God struck the earth and struck the earth, and basically it was a prophecy of the seven hurricanes, the seven spirits, the seven witches, that Gustav would be one of the staff that would strike the land of America. It came up through New Orleans, and it did major damage in New Orleans. There was a lot of people had major problems and still flooding and couldn't drink the water supplies. And the government never reported any of that. And that Ike would come in behind this and would be one of the swords. And one of the recent dream or visions I had is actually, it was a dream. I saw a black cloud coming in from off from Africa towards the East Coast. And in the black cloud, as it came towards America, there was two mighty swords that came out of it. And then there was this little small, which looked like a sword, in the middle. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said they would be Ike, the first sword, and the second sword would be Omar, and the sword in the middle would descend upon Washington, D.C. Well, that sword in the middle, folks, just came down upon Washington, D.C. with the stock markets the other day. And the markets are going to go up and down, happy days, everybody's great, and then we're going to see a major crash take place very soon. Now, martial law is about to take place in the land of America. There's a false flag that's about to take place. The Lord has shown this very clearly to me. I've been speaking about this since last year. And there's lots of prophecies on the Internet, on the websites that you can see that are being fulfilled and are being fulfilled. And what God is saying is that the sword will come down upon the land of Washington, D.C. The financial markets, as we know, have been hit, but you're about to see something that a man has never seen before. I took my staff and I went up and struck the Great Lakes on April, I think it was the 16th, this year. And within, I think it was 8 hours, there was a 5.4 earthquake and it shook the New Madrid fault lines. It shook 14 states and the skyscrapers in Chicago. And I went out to New York with Alan Hainsworth and I took the staff and I struck the Statue of Liberty. Now, in the vision, before I went there, when I struck the Statue of Liberty from the west coast to the east coast out of the Juan de Fuca Straits, as I struck the Statue of Liberty, in that vision, and that liberty, by the way, folks, is a false Greek goddess. It's a false liberty that brings bondage to the shores of America. It never brings any liberty whatsoever. The Masonic Order lodges are imprinted in the foundations of the Statue of Liberty. You can go inside the snack bar, whatever you call that gift shop over there, and you can go in and see a picture of it from an aerial photograph from the top, and you will see the Masonic Order lodging of all the different imprints of their symbols in the foundations of the Statue of Liberty. Anyhow, as I struck the Statue of Liberty, I saw the numbers 911 appear, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "My son, tell them seven times greater than 911 shall come upon America. There are seven cities, seven spirits, seven witches, seven hurricanes. The seven cities, and I have mentioned this on the radios before. I'll try to remember them right now tonight, even though it's late real quick. But there's New York, Washington, and Stephen Benning could probably help me remember this because I've said it many times in the meetings. But it's New York, Washington, D.C., Jacksonville, Florida, Seattle, San Diego, I think it was Phoenix, and Detroit. Is that seven cities? I believe it was. Anyhow, and those seven cities, the Lord told me, were going to hit major strikes against them. And very soon, there are going to be three cities hit. I see New York, Washington, D.C., and San Diego being hit very soon. And in there, it came out of a vision out of 2004, where the Lord spoke to me, and I saw these Muslims, these terrorist types in America, and they were putting together these 30 or 40 foot long missiles that were about 8 inches in diameter, I think they were, and somewhere around them, maybe a little bit longer. And they had these I guess they were small nuke tips. I don't know what they were exactly on the missiles, but the Lord spoke to me in the three cities will be hit, and these missiles, folks, they're being put together already here in America. They're coming from within America, and these terrorists are within America. But anyhow, the false flag is getting ready to rise up, okay? And it's going to cause massive hysteria and confusion. The U.S. intelligence will break down. There will be confusion upon the land. And in this time frame, the government will move in to make it look like the government is coming to save the day. And the Americans will let down their guards and say, "See, our government helped us, and they're good people. And we need to stand behind our government, the American flag, the apple pie and the cross, and everybody's happy." And they're going to think everything's fine, and they got control of this thing, of the martial law that will temporarily rise up and take care of the situation. And then, when America's back is turned, and they're dead and asleep in their lethargy, and the lies of the governments and the lies of the things are taken. Now, this is all done by dreams and prophecies that God spoke to me, folks. This is not I'm not in conspiracies. I'm not into, reading websites or reports. I read nothing whatsoever. I cry out to God and stay on my face before the Lord. But when America is turned, read the five dreams on the website. I've got a letter called The Five Dreams that talks about the invasions of America. But when America and their back is turned, and their eyes are closed, martial law is going to rise up very quickly right after that again with a real terrorist action, and the land will be taken over and it will not end, and martial law will stay in permanent residence. And then we will see the inhabitants of the land of this dragon and this bear that come in, and the rest of the South American-type countries that are all part of this program, like Venezuela, and they'll come into the land of America, and they'll inhabit the land and seize the land. And the sons and daughters of America were about to die. And so we see these invaders come in. We see these civil war take place. We see these invaders come in with the sword for a season of time. Right when this temporary martial law comes in, the explosions, the chaos. And folks, America is going to be sent into blackout very soon. And this is not a messes affair. This is a messes understanding of preparation and preparing your families, and understanding that we must trust the Lord Jesus Christ in this hour, and that we have to understand that those who are truly bought by the blood of the Lamb, that are truly His bride, will come in this hour to do mighty exploits, will stand up and have authority in the land. Now, there's going to be those that are martyred for Jesus Christ. There's going to be those that are persecuted for Jesus. Absolutely. Persecution's coming. those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And there will be many who will bend the knee next year in 2009. They'll bend the knee to take the mark. They'll bend the knee just to get food and water and whatever it is for themselves. I'm telling you, this is going to be a mistake. They're going to tell you. They're not going to tell you it's the mark of the beast. They're not going to tell you this is such and such, but they are going to make it mandatory coming in. And you're going to see this thing get pressured very strongly. You're also going to see shows like this and shows that Stephen Benning and I do and others, voices that speak out in the land of America and whatever you want to call it, religious conservative broadcasting going on in America. You're going to see a massive shutdown of the voice of America in 2009. And these things are about to take place now. Before I just run off the chops here any longer, Don, you might have questions, and Stephen, you might want to interject and say some things as well.
Well, that's a mouthful that you just gave us. I can say that I'm doing what I'm doing because I feel that the Lord is leading me along this path, and that if I'm to trust His word, that somehow I'm going to make it through this. Even if I'm taken out, I know that I will play some role on some level. If it's just not, if it's not in the physical, I know that in my spirit I'll be still doing something along this line. So, I don't fear. I don't have that fear that they would wish that I would have, much like you and Stephen, of course. If you had fear, you wouldn't be coming out with this message. I guess one question, and this is a rhetorical question, but it's for the listening audience, those that have never repented, those that are wondering, well, I'm a good person. I do the right thing. I work. I support my family. I go to church. I pray. What more can I do? What is the repentance that God is looking from me for? In other words, what message would you give that person?
Well, you know, it's a good question, Don. I'm glad you asked that question. And to the listeners out there, you know, this is a situation you have to understand. It's not about church buildings. It's not about going to church. It's not about how many times you go to church or how good you are and like this. And, you know, I believe that American Christianity has totally failed. American Christianity 101 is a religious dead system of America. It doesn't line up with the Bible in the biblical sense of things from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. The churches in America have represented themselves. I believe that even the charismatic movements and the different movements throughout, I caught the tail end of the Jesus days, and then part of the charismatic movements, and then into the Signs and Wonders movement with John Wimber and the Vineyard Christian Fellowship, which John was a good man, and you know, he made some mistakes. He died and stuff like that, but he was really a good brother in his heart, and he rebuked the Toronto nonsense and the Holy Laughter garbage and the all that nonsense that went on in Toronto and down in Pensacola, and the religious people in Pensacola with them are just as bad as the Holy Laughter ones that are down there. But the people in Lakeland and that nonsense, where I went in and rebuked in a sense and called those people to repent of their apostasy and their wickedness, and that the revival would end in Lakeland, Florida. Took the staff in there, spoke the word of God, and commanded in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that Todd Bentley, Mike Bickle, and Bob Jones and them would repent of their wickedness and their sorcery, in a sense, and prophesied that Lakeland would end in the Ignite Church right where it began. And within about 45 days of that, that whole thing came crash and burn, and the whole so-called worldwide revival that they called came to a screeching halt. And Bentley is no more. Now, God spared Bentley's life. Instead of him falling over dying, he stepped down and repented of and whatever happened. And in that midst of what took place out of that, and, you know, he needs some major deliverance. But in this time, folks, I want to let you know something, is what Don just asked the question about the church and, you know, and those that are maybe aren't, you know, don't know Jesus, but they think they're, you know, done a good thing or whatever it is. And this is to the church as well as the non-church. It doesn't matter. The church in America, like I said, needs to get saved, but at the same time, we need to repent, all of us. And if we don't repent of our wickedness, repent of, we think we're a good person. So what do we repent of? Well, we repent of the 70 million babies that's on the church's hands, the blood that's on the church's hands. We repent of allowing the sodomites to march throughout the land. Repent of the wickedness, of the sins of man, of the government that's made its laws of wickedness has come up against. Now, we can't force the government to change those laws, but the church sat silent for too many years. In the 70s, they came out with the doctrine of demons called the silent witness. And it was just another doctrine of demons. And in the midst of that, the church went rampant in its great silence, while the government and the world went rampant in its lasciviousness and its filth. And so when we start to understand the state of who we are, and that we're nobody, and that we must cry out to God and repent every single day, just like David did, it says in Psalms that he repented every day before the Lord God Almighty, and repenting of whatever it might be. I don't care if it's, you did something bad to somebody, or you have some issues in drugs or alcohol, or you had some issues in pornography or sexual issues, or whatever those situations might be. You might have anger issues. You might have unforgiveness issues. You might have tons of issues against your neighbors, your wife, your children. I don't know. But there's constantly a time of daily repentance before the Lord God, and to understand that that Jesus Christ is the only one who died for you, and he has shed his blood for you, and that nobody else did that. The man, and it doesn't matter, you can go to church every single day of the year, it's not going to get you to heaven. You can go do with the good duty, good shoe things, and feel good and all this stuff type of stuff, and it's not going to get you to heaven. It doesn't matter. What's going to get you to heaven, the only way, is through the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ as you repent of your sins, acknowledge your sins before the Lord God. Whatever those sins are, you know what they are, and that you go before the throne of Jesus Christ tonight and you repent of those sins, and you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins, and to come into your heart to be Lord and Savior in Jesus Christ of your life, that he would be the Lord and King of Kings of your life, to be covered by the blood of the Lamb, that your names be written in the Lamb's book of life, and that you begin to serve him and follow him. And that's the message of the kingdom of God. It's not just about judgments or prophecies and things we're talking about, folks. The bottom line is the souls of men. The bottom line is to do the works of the kingdom of God, as it said in Isaiah 61, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, to feed the poor, reach out to the needy, the orphans, the widows, help those that are in need, bind up the brokenhearted, and mend the wounds of those, and begin to also, the scripture also says in Isaiah 61, and to declare the day of vengeance of our God. And so these things must take place, folks. This is a time that we're all going to be questioned, not only be questioned about love, but we're going to be questioned in the time of the things that, not a matter of how much time we have, but what do we do with the time that we have. And we're going to be questioned about these things. We're going to be questioned to see what's taking place. Now, Stephen Benning and I, we come from a kind of a different cut of the cloth, in a sense, if you call it that. The Lord has clearly shown me to take a cedar staff, and go throughout the land and proclaim the judgments on America, and strike the land and the waterways like the Mississippi was struck on June the 3rd, and then it spilt over 10 days later, and we see the Mississippi, when Stephen Benning and I went up there, and the Lord told me it was going to spill over twice, and he said, go to St. Louis, and Stephen Benning and I went into the St. Louis, Missouri River area there in the Mississippi, and we struck the land again in the river, and we went in and washed our feet with the mud that was on the shoes. It was a sign, a symbolization of the sins of the land being spilt upon the land of America, and that's what God spoke about. He said, As the sins of America spilt upon the land, and he told me this 15 years ago, so shall I spill the Mississippi upon the land of America. And so when we went there and struck the land with the staff in the Mississippi, it spilt over again the second time. As you know, recently, this past week, the land spilt over when I came through. I mean, the Mississippi spilt over. And the Lord spoke to me again. He says, it's going to go a third time, my son. Going to come with the Great Lakes and the volcano that's coming out of Lake Erie, and which will cause a spillover of the New Ocean Way. However, folks, we've got to get into this understanding of this, and what Don was just asking that question. This is a very important question that he asked, and it's the most important question of the night about salvation of mankind, about repentance, and about repenting of the sins. The sins of racism, the sins of many things. All this type of stuff has gone on in the land of America. And we have got to understand that we're not going to side for one side or the other thing. Understanding, like, well, I hear this kind of nonsense all the time. I had a man call me up, this is a bunch of nonsense. You know, well, you know, my relatives are served in the blue. They serve the blue uniform. And what do you mean about Yankees? You know, I made a little comment about Yankees. And I'm not making a racist comments. You know, I don't care whether you wear a gray uniform or blue. That's nonsense. My citizenship is not in America. It's not in patriotism of America. It's in the kingdom of God. And we have to understand something, that we got to grow up and come and get out of that kind of stuff and stop trying to protect a heritage of the red, white, and blue flags of so-and-so that was both sides in that Civil War were totally in sin. They were both shed massive amount of blood, which was needless bloodshed that did not need to be shed. And that it was because of corruption of man. It was because of the kings of the earth that came in there, on the Union side primarily, to bring control. And so, like I said, it's not the matter of sides here. It's a matter, and the Indians, of what they did to Stephen Benning and I, going down there to the Indians. We're going to go down to the Trail of Tears. I was down there in the mid-90s to the Trail of Tears, and I talked to the chief. And, you know, the sins of the white man came down there and slaughtered those women and children and babies and that. You know, this racist spirit of this nonsense has got to stop in this country. We're going back down there again and call for the spirit of repentance just through what took place, and to say, basically, we're sorry for the whole thing. Now, I understand that it's a sorry to the generations of those people that were slaughtered, and not so much to the ones that are running around today with a, you know, that are on those Indian reservations that are freeloading on the government deals, and the government's giving them all the social programs, and let's give them more money, and you know, and let their kids go out and do the drugs and lasciviousness and witchcraft that goes on at reservations. And that's repentance time. Repent of that filthy sins. But what we're saying is the bloodline and heritage from way back when, where there were some godly people that were, say, on those reservations, or that were, you know, before the reservations, that were there, that had their land, that we repent of what has happened to the sins of the fathers that done this to these people. And repenting of all kinds of racial slurs or sins, repenting of, you know, the nation itself. America is not going to repent. I would that America would repent. I would that I gave President Bush a letter, I gave him an ultimatum of repentance, but he refused, and it's on the website, to repent, but he has refused it because he's tied in, he's probably, you know, well, whatever, I won't say that over the airs right now, I guess, to some degree, but you know, don't get me
wrong. Yeah, I know what you're thinking.
You know, but, you know, I faxed back over again, I've called the White House, the White House called back, and this kind of thing, and I called them back, and this kind of thing, but, you know, the key is that, you know, folks, the nation of America is not going to repent. And the Lord said the only way he would hold the sword back from America, and this may be perhaps, if the President of the United States of America would get on his knees before national television with every single so-called church leader like Joel Osteen, Rick Warren, and his wonderful purpose-driven garbage, and along with the rest of this nonsense and the money-grabbing that's going on with all these so-called leaders and the peddlers of Zion over there from Hagee and the rest of them, and filling their pockets with gold, and get on their faces along with every congressman and senator of the United States of America and repent of their filthy wickedness, stop the executive order instantly, stop the order of abortions, of killing the babies, put a stop to that instantly, of the 70 million babies in the, put a stop to that, shut down every pornography adult bookstore in the country, which the mafia controls, and stop all the sodomite laws of all the so-called special rights idea that they all sign, so it's hate crimes you speak. You know what? Jesus Christ is the King, and the Word of God is the Word of God. My number is 509-496-9740. I'll be glad to answer your questions. I don't care about man or the kings of the earth, and I fear no man. And I don't care what's taken away from me or what's happened, because I have nothing to be taken away. And what you want to take away, whatever it is, take it away. I'm not a citizen of this kingdom. I mean, of this world, of this earth. I'm a citizen of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, and I say that boldly. Because when they stood in the book of Acts and said, Lord, consider their threats, boldly consider their threats, and the Lord God Almighty stood on behalf of the saints and sent the sword upon the land. And so you stand up against the watchmen of God and the prophets in the last days, and you watch the fire of God come upon you. Just like it did Pharaoh and all his armies, they all fell and died in the Red Sea. And that's the hour we're in today, folks. The hour of Moses and Elijah, the hour of authority of God's kingdom, to say, take the authority, proclaim the authority, and walk in the authority, because Jesus Christ said, I give you all authority. And the kings of the earth have come up against the Lord God Almighty, and Jesus Christ says, I'm bringing the authority and giving you the authority into the church to have dominion over the earth, the sea, the land, the beast, the kings of the earth, and all its evil governments, and all that you see, the trees, and everything around you. You have dominion and authority over it, and the church has not walked in it. Satan has lied to you. He's lied to you through the religious churches, through the hypocritical, institutionalized, state-run churches of America, and it's false American Christianity 101. And Satan has lied to you. And you are not walking in the inheritance that God has intended for you to walk in. And I call unto you tonight, I call to the watchmen of God, to the prophets of God, to the deliverers of the land of America, and to the nations that are the deliverers of God, and to the sons and daughters of God, the bride of Christ, to stand up and take your rightful place on the wall and begin to have dominion over the earth and all the things in the earth, and stop walking around with this woe is me wimpy ideas and these wimpy prayers that you're praying and unholy prayers that you're in bed with Caesar and the republicanism and the democraticism garbage of the world and of this nation that's in nothing more than in bed with Caesar and the kings of the earth and the new world order. And you people have got to understand something. You're not living the gospel of the kingdom of God when you're doing these things. And Jesus is telling you, I have called you as my sons and daughters. I have called you as my bride. I have given you talents and gifts and understanding and inheritance that I want you to walk in. And you're losing it right you're losing your very soul. You're losing your inheritance right before you. And Satan is putting a lie on you. Satan knows his time is short. And as soon as the judgments come in, his time is that much shorter, and it's less souls that he can steal. And God is speaking to you tonight, folks. And he's telling you, stand up and take your places on the wall. Stephen Benning, back to you.
What, Don and Matthew? You know, Matthew, you plead an incredible prophetic case. I sense there's probably some of the people wondering, you know, well, why does God... You know, if God has really sent these guys, why is there so much predicting going on? Well, that is what set God apart from all the other so-called gods on the earth, is that God tells you what is going to happen before it happens. That's really what the Bible is. The Bible is a collection of thousands of prophecies and predictions, along with laws that men have decided to ignore. And, you know, there were more than 400 predictions about what Jesus the Messiah would do when he came into the earth, born of a virgin as a little baby, and grew up, and crucified, dead, buried, descended to hell, and raised on the third day, and ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven. And, you know, so God sends these things so that he can reveal the end from the beginning, as he always has, and... You know, Matthew gave quite a list earlier. I would just, to sum up, I would say independently from Matthew, God has sent me forth as a second witness that we are in the hour of the double judgments. We've seen the double hurricanes. We've seen the double companies failing already on Wall Street. We just had Shearson Lehman and AIG go down. We are going to have... The Lord said to me, in very short order, we're going to have double assassinations of the level of kings or presidents or candidates for presidents. We're going to have double earthquakes in the United States, very severe, very bad earthquakes. Beyond that, we are in the hour of double judgments. A little bit further out, but not too far out, we're going to lose two entire carrier fleet groups, just to start with. I know Matthew has said we're going to lose overall, by the end of it, at least six when we get into the World War. But very shortly, we're going to lose the Kitty Hawk and the Lincoln Group. And exactly how that's going to happen, Kitty Hawk Group is going to be attacked by descendants of Ishmael. And the only interpretation I can draw from that is it's not a nation. It might be a terrorist attack. It might be a false flag terror attack with some Arabs linked to it. That's all I know about that. That tells you some things that are going to happen before they happen. And Matthew has got a long list of things. And just while I've been walking with him, I mean, he has said a number of things were going to take place, and they've already come to pass. And it's just going to build. I mean, Matthew was talking about these hurricanes. He had picked out these names, Gustav and Ike, months ago. And it's already been 2 months ago from now he picked out this name, Omar. I mean, we haven't even reached, I think the last hurricane we just had was Ike. We've not had the K storm form yet. So there's K, J, K, L, M, N, and then we reach O. You get ready when that O storm forms. I believe that Matthew said it's coming somewhere on the Atlantic coast. Am I right, Matthew?
Yes, that's correct. We were just out on the Outer Banks recently, just the other day, about 4 or 5 days ago, and struck the Atlantic Ocean there. And the Lord had spoken to me that there would be a massive hurricane from Florida up through, and I don't know exactly how much of Florida's going to be hit in this, but I know from Florida up to Maryland, and I'm not sure how much Maryland, but I know that it's going to be right around in that area there, up and around the eastern seaboard of that, Stephen, you're correct.
Yeah, so as you see these things begin to happen, listeners, you're going to have to turn back to God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that means whether your pastor will do it or not, you're going to have to do it.
And I want to say something to the listeners tonight real quick, Stephen, just so we don't forget this real quick. And that is this, is that, and Don, you would probably have a lot of knowledge in this area too, but real quick is that I've said about this since 2002, because I talked about it originally in 1998, but in 2006, that we're about, in the last year of Bush's term, we're about to go into Iran and strike Iran with the Israel thing. And I'm telling you, this thing's going to lead to World War III, folks, and it's about to take place. So anyhow, back to you, Stephen, real quick. I'm sorry.
I think I've pretty well summed up what I wanted to discuss. I didn't want to pour out any more prophetic detail. I think the events that we've already talked about, most of which I think we're going to see within the next year. Wouldn't you agree, Matthew?
Absolutely. We're starting to see. This is September 1 is now started the fall clock. It's called the Fall of America. And, he's shaking the institutions of America, the finance institutions, the church institutions, and it's just going to roll right on into 2009, folks, and 2010, 11, and 12. I see the total demise of America basically by sometime in the year 2012, and so it's all coming to an end. Absolutely.
If I could make a couple of comments here, I've been listening intently to everything both of you gentlemen have been saying, and there are parallels to what you're saying, Matthew, in regard to the double judgment that's coming down when you say double earthquakes or double destruction. We have been living through a duplicitous form of government, a lying form of government, a lying form of history, and in real time, as well as in looking in retrospect as to how things have been portrayed to have occurred, as if this is going to hide some truth, and it has by and large. It's affected the masses. You have mind control going on. In fact, in the cities that you mentioned, just in the first, now I got six of them down, and I'm wondering if you can be thinking about what the seventh might be, because you did mention seven, and I don't know if I omitted one. You went pretty fast, and I was writing as fast as I could. New York, New York, there you have duplicity in the name. In fact, New York was the location of three false flag events. just as Oklahoma City, Oklahoma was when we had the Murrah building, we also had two false flag attempts of a nuclear type, and probably British MI6 and Israeli Mossad were behind that in Texas City, Texas. Now, this is where the latest hurricane hit. They mentioned Galveston and they mentioned Houston, but they never mentioned Texas City, Texas, where the refineries are. And that, right, that intention was to create a false increase of oil prices under the delusion that we're low on petroleum products. Washington D.C. It's self-evident that it's duplicitous because they say one thing and do the other. They're talking out of both sides of their mouth. They're creating laws to suppress mankind, and at the same time, they themselves are above the law. Jacksonville, Florida, what comes to mind is Navy and naval intelligence that controls much of the mind control and the shadow government ops, the black ops. Seattle, likewise, with the addition of the control of the computer world and Microsoft's participation in that. San Diego, the home of a building, a naval building in the shape of a swastika that can be seen from up in the air or out in space. Detroit, the home of one of the largest controls of the planet in terms of the automobile industry, which feeds the petroleum industry and all the offshoots, all the products that are sold there. And those people are suffering, and yet you have this duplicity taking place. So we're talking about the end of or God's judgment on the Hegelian dialectic, if you want to call it that. This duplicitous Leninist strategy that's perpetrating and pushing forward the New World Order. I don't know if you recall what the Seventh City was, but I would almost venture to guess that it would have something along those lines in common.
It's with Jacksonville?
I mentioned Jacksonville, yeah.
Okay, New York, Washington, D.C., Jacksonville, San Diego.
Phoenix, yes. Phoenix,
Seattle,
is
Phoenix,
absolutely part of it. It is the center of the corruption of money laundering, of real estate. It's where all of the money from the Justice Department is being diverted into real estate, which is being turned over to international interests, identity theft, you name it. So yes, that I heard you say Phoenix, and I didn't write it down, but I was thinking that thought.
Texas City, Texas, you mentioned. When I went down to Galveston and struck with the staff, I struck the Gulf of Mexico in three places, in Galveston, New Orleans, and Pensacola. But when I struck down there in Galveston, I stood on the seawall, and I struck both sides of the seawall, and I said, Lord God Almighty, for they say that the seawall will hold back the waters of what you're sending from the storm, that the storm will come in at nighttime, just like the Lord showed me, the hurricane. And the seawall would not hold back the waters, is what the Lord told me to proclaim on that seawall. And then we went to that largest oil refinery in the country, which is down there in Texas City, Texas. And I struck the oil refinery. Obviously not, you know, I couldn't go into the refinery because of the fences, but we stood at a distance, struck the refinery of the ground and proclaimed it with my staff there and said, the Lord God will strike the refinery. And all the refineries, like in the pending judgment vision number 5, about how the oil refineries, where the angel Lord took his sword and struck the oil refineries of America, and they went up in smoke. And, you know, as a result of that, there's been two refineries of the oil tanks, too, like one in Kansas City that went up with a lightning bolt from heaven, and one in Texas. And, of course, this Texas City thing, like you said, the hurricane came right through there.
Mm-hmm. So we know, there is plenty of evidence to support what you're saying, just in the amount of corruption that's going on in all of these cities. It's on a governmental level, primarily, so I'm not in any way implying it's the regular citizens there. But every city, I could go on, we could do a whole show on each city. on the amount of corruption that's there, and this list does not surprise me in the least. Now, if I could add one comment, and I appreciate the detailed explanations and the interpretation and discernment behind both of your views on repentance. Once we repent, and I'd like some comment on this from both of you, actually. I'm soliciting your comments. Once we repent, and I think this is the key to repentance, is that we put God first. We have this tendency to forget God. We say a prayer to God, and we don't even thank God when the prayer is answered. We go on about our business as if God is merely a convenience or a life rope or a lifeline, if you want to use that term, or a lifesaver. And we belittle God, we actually mock God when we don't put God first. God has been taken out of our schools, he's been taken out of our prayer in public places. We used to witness prayer at the opening of a congressional hearing or just regular congressional business on a day-to-day basis. This no longer is the case. And we have these legal interests that will actually change the law. One person will file a suit supposedly on behalf of everyone's interest, and again we witness God being taken out and of course out of the courts as well. We're supposed to swear on a Bible that we're telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and then we witness total corruption in the courts. You know, any comment along those lines?
Stephen?
Well, the thought I had, the Scripture says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill or give in to the lust of the flesh. If you begin to put God first, starting with every day of your life, and then moving to every hour, and then down to every minute, if God is foremost and first in your mind every minute of your life, you're going to begin to walk by the Spirit of God, and you're not going to have to make New Year's resolutions to clean up your life, because you're going to have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus overcoming the law of sin and death with a more powerful spiritual law. Just as the law of aerodynamics overcomes the law of gravity, you'll be overcoming. You'll be flying high over the life of sin you used to lead, so long as you're walking in the Spirit, putting God first in your life. And the problem we have is, well, all of us, including me, I have a difficulty doing that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I will slip, but I'm trying to do that. That's my goal. That's what I'm pressing toward, is getting to where I walk in the Spirit 24/7. And to the extent that I do that, I walk clean and I live holy.
Yes, well, none of us are perfect, of course, and, you know, I'll be the first to say I'm not perfect. It's what you say is very true, and it's a solution for those out there that are walking in fear right now and trembling with this news. This is distressing news, but we're better prepared to know this is likely possibility that can happen very soon. You're bringing this message forward so that those of us that haven't repented will repent, in the hope that we will repent, and to forewarn us of what's about to occur. It's been prophesied in the Word, of course, but God uses people also such as yourselves to remind us. Very few people.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember that for the one who comes to God without hypocrisy and really true in heart, there's instantaneous and total forgiveness of sins that they're wiped away, just as though you'd never sinned, really, no matter what you've done. And that's available by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And, you know, along with that, Stephen. Stephen's been a real good brother, been on the radios with me a lot and stuff, and he's been setting up all these radio programs on our website. But Stephen's had a tremendous word from God, and even Gustav, he talked about that even before it happened. He mentioned about the staff of God. I asked him, sent him a clip of that hurricane deal about the Civil War thing and ship, and he found the name of the Civil War ship, and that was a tremendous revelation. He'll share with you probably sometime, but... you know, when we talk about the salvation of God and the things that are happening and the hope that we have, this understanding of all these things, folks, the reason why God is judging America, the reason why we talked about these things, the 70 million babies being, you know, the all the different stuff, the whole institutionalized church, the way they've conducted themselves, and which, why is, you know, and this is why God's judging America. But it says in here, to live is Christ, in First Philippians chapter 1 here, and to live is Christ, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectations and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether life or death, or by death. For me to live is for Christ, and to die is the gain. And so... you know, when we understand the revelation that all these things are taking place, God is bringing a great deliverance in the land. He's trying to bring a purified bride in the land. So whether we live or die, we'll die in Christ Jesus, those who are in Christ. And, you know, so the fear, there's no fear. If you understand that, you don't need to fear man or fear anything on this earth, because we serve a mighty great God that will take care of us in this hour. And all these things are the workings for a time of deliverance. All these things are workings to purify us and to make us a spot without wrinkle, and to be purified, to have white linen in our, you know, our clothing. That God is bringing forth that pure heart in us that we can walk through this hour. And that's what he's saying right now to the church. If you'll walk in this door of repentance, if you'll go through this time, because see, the church has been unwilling to go through that. In the 80s, we've seen one thing. In the 90s, we talked about the door of repentance, and the church went around that. And, you know, all these movements started off good, but they all died out. They all had some portion of some truth, but then they turned to corruption and money, mammoth, and then they died. But God is saying he's not going to do that anymore. He's going to separate Babylon. He's going to separate the Egyptian spirit out of us. He's going to separate all that stuff, and he's going to purify his bride, and it's going to come with much times of trouble. But at the same time, we can trust the Lord in full faith that he's not going to leave us as orphans. He will take care of us. He will protect us in this hour. He is our strong tower, our refuge, and our strength. And he'll take us through this hour if we trust in the Lord. Mm-hmm. I really have to say tonight about that. Don, back to you.
Well, what comes to mind, listening to both of you again, is whenever anyone was healed by Jesus, There was a pattern to how that healing occurred. Usually, the person that was requesting the healing was pleading with him, just about begging him to heal them or to heal someone else. And it was upon their demonstration of faith that he healed them. And he began by thanking God as if it had already been done. And then he acknowledged the faith and healed them and said, now go tell whomever, their friends, their family, tell others what I have done, what has occurred, in other words. And then he said, sin no more. That was always the pattern every time someone was healed. And I think in terms of, you know, a solution, I mean, you're telling us what God is going to do. This is God's plan, God's solution. Who are we to argue with that? If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And there's nothing we can do about it other than to repent and then to put God first and to stay in that mindset and to stay in that spirit and trust that God will lead us through. However that is going to manifest itself, it's in God's hands, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Well, any closing comments? We're about out of time. We have a minute or two each. If you would like to leave our audience with some spiritual counsel, and I mean, this whole show has been filled with it, but terms of...
You know, there are three main places in the Bible where God's people were in the middle of a situation where God was pouring out his judgment and wrath. First one was the Israelites were in Egypt. Second one was Lot was in Sodom. Third one, Noah was on the earth at the time of the flood. And in each case, God had instructions for his people that if his people followed those instructions, they were okay. If they disobeyed, they were going to be in trouble. So on a very simple level, turn away from your sins, reestablish and develop your relationship with Jesus Christ, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then do what he tells you to do.
I'm going to keep broadcasting.
Okay. Well, I concur with all that that you said, Stephen. I concur with Don, what he's talking about tonight, about all these things, and that absolutely, you know, there's not really a whole lot more to add to any of that, the Lord is just calling out to his people. The Father God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and me and all the people on the earth. And we have a choice right now in our hearts to accept Jesus Christ tonight as our Savior and Lord and repent of our sin and put our trust and our hope in everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, this world, earth is passing away. It's passed away fast. And so if we don't trust Jesus, we're going to be lost for eternity. And that's all I really have to say tonight.
Well, amen. I want to thank both of you gentlemen for coming on the show. The door is always open. If there's another message, if there's any word that you feel is important to get out there, I'll avail myself as much as it is within my power to do so, to help you get the message out. And I want to encourage the listening audience to visit your websites. Stephen, yours is USA Prophet.
That's correct. USAProphet.
.com,
right.
Okay. And Matthew's is, he's got such a long one.
Prophetic Watchman. Vine, VINE.com.
Yes,
that's Prophetic
.com.
Watchman, MAN, Vine.com. Prophetic Watchman, Vine.com.
Okay. I want to thank you both. I wish you Godspeed in getting your message to where it must go. Feel free to contact me if something comes up that you feel is important to get out there to the public. You always have an open invitation here on Evident Footprints.
Great. Well, thank you, Don. I appreciate having the opportunity tonight to be on your show, and I think it's a great show, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your being with us, and I'm sure the listening audience does too. We'll say good night, folks. You have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and I also want to thank Don Newsom for making this show possible and Seth Hendrick for handling the sound tonight. It was great, Seth, and we appreciate you hanging in there for a special two-hour show. Folks, also, we appreciate your emails and your comments. We always get them. And with that, I want to wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. Get some rest tonight, and everyone have a good night.